WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The music of 12th century nun Hildegard von Bingen. And what can she tell us about today's Catholic Church? The life of Hildegard von Bingen, the woman credited with founding the first woman's cloister and starting the tradition of nuns being apart from the men of the church, is still a contentious figure more than 800 years later. She is often called the first feminist of the Catholic Church, a woman who challenged authority and came out on top. Or, according to a recent speech by Pope Benedict XVI, a perfect example of Christian submission. The one thing we can definitely say about Hildegard von Bingen is that she is the subject of a new film called Vision, From the Life of Hildegard von Bingen. And even as the subject of a film, she is running into some controversy. The Archdiocese of New York City has decided they will not help promote the film and have blocked advertisements in the publication Catholic New York. Margareta von Trotta, who wrote and directed Vision, joins us now, as well as Lisa Miller, the religion editor at Newsweek and author of Heaven, Our Enduring Fascination with the Afterlife, who has been covering the reaction to the film here in New York. Margareta and Lisa, thank you so much for coming in. Hello.
Hi. Hello. Very happy to be here.
And Margareta, tell us about Hildegard von Bingen, beyond what I just said, and why you felt moved to make a film about her life today.
Yes, perhaps first I can explain I was very surprised by this reaction of the diocese, because last year my film was shown in the Festival of Rome, and there were coming a journalist from the Osservatore Romano, that's the official journal of the Vatican, and he liked the film very much, and he wrote a big article how much he liked it. So I don't understand why this diocese here is so much against the film. Oh, no, perhaps not so much against, but kept away from commenting.
So, Lisa, covering this as a religion reporter for Newsweek, what do you think is up with the Archdiocese?
Well, the Archdiocese says that it's simply not its policy to vet films that are advertised in the local organs, and that that it was all a misunderstanding. So it's hard for me to know as a journalist what exactly the Archdiocese meant when it sent an email to the distributor of the film saying it wasn't going to advertise the movie. But in any case, the Archdiocese says it's not its policy to block films.
To block films. So I don't understand. So if they want to take out an ad in Catholic New York now, they can?
What the Archdiocese says is that a film can be advertised in Catholic New York once it receives a positive review from the United States Catholic Bishop Conference organ, which is a wire service, and that it has not yet done so. It's a lot of cross signals, and it's unclear to me exactly what the problem was on the part of the Archdiocese.
So there's no reason, Margareta, that you would expect that body would not positively review the film?
No, but I'm amazed. I'm always for struggle and for fight, and if they don't like it and others are liking it, so it's much better than if everybody is.
Then you'll get
is,
on the
no?
front page of the New York Post, not just in the movie review section. Your portrait is of a woman who is intense, dogged, aggressive, but fundamentally extremely loyal to her faith. Were you hoping to create a profile of a subversive but faithful woman?
Yes, absolutely. No, it was what my interest was because I did a film about Rosa Luxemburg many years ago, and that was a woman living in this beginning of the last century. So to step back to see what were women, did they exist in the far in the past, no? And where are the women we can still looking at and being an example for us? And that was the case with Hildegard, when women, mainly also in Germany, but I think also in America, were looking for these examples in the past. And the history mainly was always written and done by men, and there were not so many women to find. And so when this woman found Hildegard, I was immediately interested in her life and in her being.
So how could a woman who lived 800 years ago be a model for today?
Because she was, on one hand, she was in a way a multi-talent. No, she had very many talents, and she tried to realize them all and to live them out in a world where women were not allowed to speak, even in this church. You know, women had to be silent and had to keep silence in their monasteries. And she had the courage to speak and to have the courage. She had to be accepted first as a visionary, because when she gets visions from God, and she believed it really, it's not that, and I'm not cynical about in the film. Mm-hmm. I portray her as really faithful and really believing these visions are coming from God, and God tells her to speak, and to speak also to the clergy, to be not greedy, and you know, but for me, she had these visions. If her unconscious was so strong that she get visions how to become a woman who could speak, and he could also create then her own monastery, and then she created even a second monastery. So she used, in a way, from my point of view, mm-hmm. today, no, mm-hmm. knowing a little bit about psychology, that she used the visions for her own development.
Lisa, the Catholic Church, I mentioned at the beginning, the Pope recently referenced von Bingen in a speech as an example of Christian submission. I don't think he mentioned the subversion. So what's the Church's official stance on her? Has there ever been a movement to canonize her? Do they feel at all threatened by her?
Well, I just want to back up a little bit and say that for me, what was so powerful about the movie is that it comes at a time when Americans especially are articulating a profound dissatisfaction with the hierarchy having to do with sex scandals and stuff. And here you have a woman who's an independent woman, and she's ambitious and she's powerful in her own right. And there she is working against the power structure. And it's just a reminder that these tensions between, you know, women, the laity, and the hierarchy have always existed, and that there have always been people who have tried to claim their own kind of power within this very constraining structure. And for that reason, it was very powerful. To answer your question, there has been a movement for a long time to canonize Hildegard, and she has not been officially canonized. In 1998, it was the 900th anniversary of her birth or death, and there was a big movement. A lot of people expected her to be officially canonized, and she hasn't been. So I think there's this acknowledgement in the hierarchy that although she is beloved for her visions and her contributions to the tradition and her music and her writings and her mysticism, she's also a little suspect because she was such a powerful force against the hierarchy. At the same time, you know, she was friends with the Pope. I mean, the Pope gave her things that her immediate superiors would not. So,
Margareta, do you think there's a danger in creating a kind of modern woman out of historical anecdotes? Do you worry that crediting von Bingen with feminist motivations, or at least other people use that word, might be fundamentally revisionist history from our modern perspective?
But as an artist, I think I have the right. No, because I'm living today. I'm a modern woman. I'm looking at her with my eyes of today, and so it's normal. Perhaps somebody of two centuries before would have portrayed her in another way. When I look to her, I search things in her to portray her from my point of view of today. And there are so many points which are really valuable to interpretate her like this.
And Lisa, you wrote in a recent Newsweek article that the Roman Catholic Church still has not learned how to appreciate the human heroines in its midst. What could change to make this better? Would a papal recognition of von Bingen as a complex character, not just a subject of submission, be the kind of thing that comes down the hierarchy to individual churches, in this era?
In my opinion, papal recognition of complexity in general would be a good thing, and about women in particular. But I also think papal recognition of women in professional positions of power within the Vatican, the possibility that women might become priests, a recognition that, women in modern society play a really important role and that it can't be a clerical club of men anymore.
So
I have the same opinion, yes.
So in our last minute, where is this film showing?
It's in a film forum in New York and also in other cities. I don't know yet all the cities.
Okay.
But,
film forum down here in Lower Manhattan, mm-hmm. just a few blocks from where we're sitting right now. If listeners, you want to see Margarete von Trotta's new film, Vision, from the life of Hildegard von Bingen. Do you put this, Lisa, in a kind of a genre of religious film?
I put it in a genre of medieval film, actually. It reminded me of, more than anything else, The Return of Martin Guerre, where everything's closed and dark and dirty. And the closedness of it I found very, very powerful. Everybody was living in cold, dark stone places.
And it's funny that she's back now in this context because it was, 20 years ago already that her music started to surface in new music circles. As we listen going out. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.